Herzlich willkommen zum Seminar The Lost Art of Disciple Making. Nur die Begrüßung ist auf Deutsch, alles andere wird wie angekündigt Englisch sein. Wir freuen uns, dass wir Dr. Ajit Fernando unter uns haben. Er kommt aus Sri Lanka und er wird jetzt zu uns sprechen und auch heute Abend. Er hat über 30 Jahre Jugend für Christus Sri Lanka geleitet, also sein Leben investiert bis heute, jungen Menschen von Jesus zu erzählen und junge Leiter zu schulen. Und das ist das, was er auch heute tut und auch durch Bücher tut, die man auch kaufen kann und was er auch hier bei uns tut. Lass uns anfangen mit einem Lied auf Englisch. Auf der Seite 23, Water You Turned Into Wine. Please, would you come and we are looking forward to your talk. It was very impolite of me only to welcome you in German. We are very happy to have you here. Welcome, Mr. Dr. Ajit Fernando.
I'm very happy to be here, very happy to be speaking to you. Did you explain that this is only in English? Okay, right. But I would like sometimes to get a few German words from a German Bible. Anyone with a German Bible here? So if you can just keep your Bible open, maybe you can tell me what your word is and what it means and things like that, okay? What I hope to do is to convince you that you can be a disciple maker, right? That you can help others to become strong Christians. You don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a leader to help others to grow in their faith. This is something that God can use all of us to do. And that's what I want to do today. But I would like you to join, because I don't know German, the situation too well in Germany. So you will have to tell me some of the answers, you know, to how I'm going to try and apply this passage. We are looking at a passage in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18. And you will have to tell me how this applies in Germany, okay? So I will ask you, and so please don't hesitate to just share with me so that I can learn from you, and hopefully you can learn something from me also, right? We are looking at a master discipler, okay? A guy who really was a good person in making disciples, and that's the Apostle Paul. And we are going to look at how Paul discipled Timothy, okay, his spiritual child. And what I want to share with you is that you can be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother to somebody else. And here you can find some principles of how you can do that to somebody else, okay? So that's what we are going to do. So let me read this passage. He says, "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child." Okay, he first describes Timothy as his child. What's the word in the German Bible? Is it child or Kinder? Yeah. What is the word given in the son? Okay, this word is often translated son, but it's not the normal word for son. You know, there is one word in the Greek that is always used for son. A lot of times used for son. And that's not this word. This word has a nicer idea of, you know, an affectionate, loving sort of relationship, tender. So that's why the particular Bible I'm using translates it as child. You know, in English, when you say my child, it's a little more affectionate, more warm than saying my son. And it's a word that is used fairly often. Paul uses it for the people he's writing to. Jesus used it for his disciples sometimes. John used a similar word, not the same word, but a similar word in his epistles when he said, my little children. So here, Paul is talking about Timothy as his child. Now, sometimes he uses the father-son figure. Sometimes he uses the mother-child figure. This is not when talking to Timothy, but in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, he says, we were gentle among you like a nursing mother caring for her own children. So, parenthood, being a parent, is one of the best ways to describe a Christian leader. And you know, I think I think this is a lost, it's often a lost art, because people are so busy that they don't have time really to be a parent. A lot of people today don't become physical parents because they don't have time, right? In the same way, you can imagine that in our society, people find it difficult to find time to become spiritual parents because of the time issue. But we are going to look at how we can find some time. Okay, now tell me, how can a person be a parent of another? Now, this is not your spiritual child. This is not your physical child. But, you know, like you're just 20 years old, and you want to be the spiritual parent of a guy who's 19 or a girl who's 19 years old, right? Now, obviously, the same dynamics doesn't work like in a family. But how can you come to the point when you view this person as your child and that person views you as your father or mother? Can you tell me some of the things that are necessary for a person to become a parent in this sense, like Paul is talking? What is necessary? Trust, okay? You need to trust this person. Trust about what? This person cares for me, is genuinely interested in my welfare, right? Otherwise, you don't want to entrust your life to somebody whom you can't trust. Okay, very good. You need trust, okay? Any other things that are needed to be a parent? Love. That person must know that you love this person, right? That you love this person. Okay. How do they get to know this? How do they get to find out that you love the person? Okay, you've got to spend time, right? You've got to spend time. So how do you spend time with a person? I mean, today, very difficult to spend time with people. How are you going to find time to spend with this person? Okay, that's one way, right? Facebook will be one way. And it is an effective way to do communication. It's a way in which you can also act, because you're not face to face, and sometimes you can act. You know what I mean by act? You can say something, but you're really not telling the truth, or you may be holding back. But if you already have a relationship, Facebook can be a way in which you nurture that. Why? Because you have your phone all the time with you, and therefore you can communicate more regularly than they did during the Bible times, right? So Facebook can be helpful in that. Okay, so Facebook is one way. Any other way you can spend time with the person? McDonald's. Don't you have a German equivalent to McDonald's? Okay, McDonald's is another way. Why did you say McDonald's? Right. You know, in the Bible also it says in Acts chapter 2 that they met in each other's homes and ate with glad and sincere hearts. When you eat together, something happens. You know, there is a sense of warmth, and when you just go to a place and eat, that could be a,
a very nice place to meet and meet the person and maybe meet on a regular basis. Why do I say regular basis? Because we are all so very busy that it's very difficult for us, unless we have some sort of routine, to plan to meet that person. So so I think it's helpful to get to have some sort of regular schedule. Okay, so now we are going ahead now here. We said trust. What else? Love. And how do you build love and trust? Time spent together. And how do you spend time together? Facebook and McDonald's, right? Any other things? Any other ideas? Honesty. Such a lonely word, isn't it? Honesty. How can you? Again, I think you need trust to be honest, isn't it? Because we've seen so many people who have broken trust. That's right, right? Today, this is an age of disposable relationships. You know, we dispose. You know, I still have. I'm from another generation, okay? Now, this is what I use, right? That's my generation. And this I use for a long time. But you guys and my children don't use these. They use paper, right? And they use it and they discard it. I'm not saying it's a sin to discard paper, no. But it's easy for us to get into this habit of discarding people when they become inconvenient. And ours is a society that is used to disposing of people when they are inconvenient. Now, that kind of person you cannot trust, right? So when you are committed to a guy or a gal, a girl, I don't know what the word is, girl, right? When you're committed to this person, you will, even though that person causes you pain, you're not going to give up on that person, right? Now that calls for commitment, right? So you'll need to make a commitment to this person. At the moment, I am working with a guy who's been on drugs. I've worked with him for about 20 years now. No, maybe 18 years. And he's in and out of drugs. He goes in, then he stays for 5 years once he stayed, then went back, then came back. And it's very difficult. But every time he comes back, I have worked with drug addicts a lot. And I know that sometimes it takes them 10 times before they come back. And I think this is the time that he's going to come back fully. And I really believe that, you know. And in fact, I got a text message from him yesterday from Sri Lanka saying, I'm doing fine, my family is fine. But you know, often you feel like giving up these people because they fail. But, you know, if God did that with us, where would we be, right? When we came to Christ, did we stop sinning after that? We just so often displeased Jesus, but he just kept coming after us and bringing us back. And so we need to be committed. And when you're committed, you can be honest because they know, right? Okay, again, I think we've gone a little, I don't mind going, changing, you know, not going according to the plan that I had given. But before that, maybe we should ask, how do we choose somebody we are going to disciple? Can you tell me? How can you choose a person you are going to disciple? Okay, sorry. God? Okay, so you pray, right? You pray and ask God, and God shows you. Okay, this person is a person that you can disciple. Okay, yeah, that's one way. Any other ideas how you can choose somebody to disciple?
Are you up or down? Okay, right, okay, right. Yeah. I didn't hear the last part. Right, you want to support him? Right, okay. So it's a new Christian on fire for the Lord, and you know that Satan can easily take him away, right? And you see a person like that. So now here, it's your observation, right? Yeah, your observation makes you think, hey, that's a guy who needs some help, and I'm going to help him. Right? Is that what you're saying? Okay, great. Any other ideas? Can you put your hand up, please? Okay, right. Right. Okay. And so here, there is a chemistry, a little, you know, some. They have gone through similar things to the way I have gone through. They'll understand. And so, you realize this person has a similar history to you. And you think, maybe this is a good person I can choose to disciple. Any other ideas? Yes. They come and ask you. Right. So that's the ideal, isn't it? Because here, otherwise, you have to try and find somebody and all of that. But here, they themselves are coming and asking you, what can you come and help me, right? Now, where do you find these people? School? Yeah, that's a superb place. Because you're together, you're along with people who are not Christians. And if you can find somebody in your school that you can help, it'll help you and it'll help that person. Yeah, that's a good place. Where else? Pardon?
Please stand up. Please stand up for your answer.
Slums. Okay. That's a bit of a shock to me, but I work with people from the slums. So here's somebody who's talking about my ministry, right? Okay. Slums, which means that you have a burden for the people in the slums, and you go there, right? And if it's anything like Sri Lanka, at first they may not like to have you in their house even, you know. But once you enter and you become part of that, then okay. So here is a person who's needy, right? Who's economically having a difficult time. And so you have gone to that place and you have found a person. Very good. Anybody else? Church. You know, I think most of the opportunities for discipling will be at church. Don't you think so? Because there are other Christians there, and maybe there are new Christians, and then they need help. So church could be a place. Okay. Let's see what we have done so far, okay? A parent is one who loves these people and then who wins the trust of the person and who spends time with the person. And there are different places you can choose to the person you're going to disciple. Anybody else got any other ideas about where you can find a person? Okay, university, similar to school here, right? Again, where you're together, and actually that's a very, very good place to be doing your discipling. Any other? Yes. In your neighborhood. Yeah. How is it with young people? Are your neighborhoods important to you all? Not so much anymore, no? With the poor, our neighborhoods are very important. But even in Sri Lanka, with the westernized youth, the neighborhoods are not important. But with the, you're not, I hope you don't mind my saying, you're not young. You're not a teenager, right? You're a little bit. But for a person who's out of school,
you know, neighborhoods are more important than perhaps it is for a young person. And your neighborhood could be a very good place to work because you can meet the people. There are more opportunities for that. So, okay, very good. Any other ideas? Family, your own family. Right. You know, the one who first discipled me is my mother. My mother, right? She's the one who led me to Christ. She's the one who taught me the Bible. So she was my first discipler. And within your own family, sometimes a younger sister, younger brother, or even maybe an elder brother, if that person has come to Christ after you and you are a little more mature, maybe you can have your own family members as the people you disciple. Okay, so Paul calls Timothy his child, right? So now, just let me say that finding time sometimes is difficult. But we will find time for the things we consider important, right? People find time for Facebook, you know? They find time to watch television if there are some programs that they really want to watch. And so this has to be a priority. You have to find the time. You have a lot of things to do. But if you consider this a priority, it is something that can really help you and that other person. Okay, so, and of course, sometimes you are very busy, but this person has an emergency, okay? She's depressed. She has an exam the next day, and she calls you. And you may need to go and visit her or spend a long time on the phone, even though it's not planned. You know what I mean, right? Even though it's not planned. When a child gets sick, the father doesn't say, "Oh, it's not in my diary. I can't take him to hospital today." You know, when your child gets sick, it becomes an emergency to you. And so you find the time for the things that are important. So I would say that that it's very important that we give priority to it. And because you are discipling people, it's very important to drop certain other things. Now, I'm involved in public ministry. I preach, and all the time I'm dropping things. Why? Because I need time to work with people. And if I go preaching to big crowds all the time, I won't have time to do my preaching. So I have to have rules. I have to leave. I have to give up things so that I can do personal ministry. And I mean, Jesus did the same. Jesus had his own disciples. He came to save the world. But he spent most of his time with 12 people, you know, because he realized that was a priority. And, you know, this is one of the most exciting things in the life of a Christian, to know that you have helped to develop another Christian. Let me tell you a story. I work for Youth for Christ, Jugend für Christus in this country. We had a young man who came to our meetings because there were girls, nice girls. He had no interest in Christianity at all. But he knew that there were nice girls there, so he came with his friends. And he started taking part in the programs and all of that, and he wanted to impress the girls. And one day there was a big rally. And at the rally, they invited people who want to commit their life to Christ to come forward. So he thought, man, all these guys are going forward. Why don't I go forward too? Then I can impress the girls. And so he came forward to commit his life to Christ, supposedly, in order to impress the girls. And then they talked to him and they prayed a prayer with him, and he prayed this prayer and all of that. And then they assigned another young person to disciple him. Now, this guy was an accountancy student. He was doing accountancy. He was just a volunteer in our ministry. And while he studied, he also got involved in our ministry. And that guy said, "I want to come and do a Bible study with you." Now this he hadn't planned for, right? So when he comes from the front door, this guy goes from the back door and he goes away. And he tells the mother, tell him I'm not at home. And this went on for a few weeks. And then this accountancy student realized this fellow likes Asterix comics. And he said, hey, I'm coming to see you, and I have got a new Asterix comic with me. That time he stayed for the Bible study. And this happened over and over again until finally this other guy who came to see the girls really became a committed Christian. Today, he's one of Sri Lanka's most popular pastors and preachers. This guy who came to see the girls, right? And the guy who's an accountancy student is now an accountant. And he's doing his work as an accountant. But he was able to nurture a person who had no interest in Christianity and finally see him grow to be a senior pastor who has a big ministry all over Sri Lanka and even abroad. So this is the exciting thing about discipling. You never really know whom you are going to nurture in this process. Now, Paul says, we are back to 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I entrust you. What does the German Bible say? How does it say? Timothy, my son, I am doing what? What does it say? What's the German word? What is the word? This charge, this command, this...
Dir vertraue ich diese Botschaft an. Dir vertraue ich diese Botschaft. I commit this charge to you.
Okay, this commit this charge.
No, this message.
Message. Okay, that's one Bible. How about another Bible? Right. Verse 18. 1 Timothy 1:18. This. Command. That command. Right. Yeah. So actually, this is a military term. Okay, it's a military term. That is, do this. Right? So a parent sometimes has to do that, right? A parent sometimes has to charge. Hey, you can't do that, right? Now, you in the German culture, in the Western culture, okay, it takes a little time to be able to earn that right, okay? Right? Is that right? You know, you can't tell a person the first day you meet him, do this, right? But as you begin to develop trust and you realize that there are some things that this person must do and some things the person must not do, you have to come to the place where you can tell him or her, listen, you've got to do this. Or listen, you can't do this. Right? So that's what he's talking about here. We sometimes have to give commands or, you know, strong message to this person. Listen, you can't do this. Or listen, you have to do this. Now, he says to help him, read on, it says something about, does it say something about warfare? Can someone read the German? Well, I'll read the English because all of you all know English. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. Right? In other words, once a person becomes a Christian, they are in a war. That's why he's using military language. Right? Once we become a Christian, we are in a war. What's the war that we are in? What's the war that we are in? Saving souls, okay? The war between light and darkness. We are surrounded by a lot of darkness. And we have to live a holy life in the midst of all this darkness. Okay, anything else about the war that we are having? The war between the old person and the new person. You were this, but now you are a new person in Christ. Okay, anything else? It's a spiritual war. We are fighting with Satan, right? Satan is working hard to try and make us, to defeat us. So, because we are fighting a war, sometimes we need to tell people directly, listen, you've got to do this, you can't do this. You need to ask questions from these people about things that maybe they are struggling with. So I like to know some of the questions that you'd like to ask a person you're discipling. What are some of the questions? Okay, they are talking about old stories, but relating to the warfare, struggles they're having. What are some of the struggles that your German young people have, and older people too? Yeah. Okay, problems to be obedient. To whom? To the parents? To the system, okay. To God, okay? So problems with obedience. In what areas? What are the areas that young people struggle with? Pardon? Okay. To be straight, full-hearted. Okay. What are some of the things that they struggle with in being straight and full-hearted? Some specific things? Pardon? Okay. What are some of the things that distract us? Huh? Sexuality. Okay, so what types of questions, if you're talking to a man, what type of questions would you ask regarding that once you have won the confidence of the person? Okay, how are you handling your own feelings? How about your internet life, right? What are you doing with the internet? Or if you have a girlfriend, right? How are you behaving with your girlfriend? Now, these are things you won't tell somebody that you don't trust. But once you have developed a trust, you begin to talk about those things. Or it may be studies. Some people are struggling with their studies. They are lazy, or they are not used to studying, or they don't feel like studying. And their friends may help them to study. It may be relationships with the parents, you know. And how are your relationships with your parents? I remember I used to disciple a guy, and we used to meet once a week on Sunday, and we used to go to the, I was a university student at that time, he was a little younger, and we used to go to the prison, and I used to do a service in the prison. And every Sunday we met, and he was always fighting with his mother. That was his problem, and he used to talk very badly to his mother. So he would tell me. So one day he asked me, I asked him, how is it with your mother? And he said, not good. I spoke some very bad language. I really scolded her in very bad language. So I told him, next time before you meet me, you need to tell sorry to your mother, and I'm going to ask you, did you tell sorry to your mother? So he waited for 7 days, and Sunday morning, before leaving home, he ran up to his mother, said, Ajit asked me to tell sorry to you, and I'm saying sorry, and he ran out of the house, you know. But little by little, he learned to care for his mother. And then when his mother was an old lady, many years later, she was so proud of the way he cared for her. So we need to ask people. I need to know something about internet. Do you all have accountability software in German? You know what I mean by accountability software? That is, it's a software that you download, and it acts as a blocker. It blocks bad sites, and it also sends a report to your somebody that you have chosen. Sends a report to help that person, so that this person went to these sites. It's do you all have this in? Can you tell me a name? Pardon? okay, children security software, you have those blocking software, but this kind of, the other thing I'm talking about, the one I use is called Covenant Eyes. And it's in English, but you people know English, maybe you can go there, I don't know. Covenant Eyes, and what it does is, it blocks, I give my age, I have given my age as a late teenager, small lie, right? But I thought, that's the safest for me, right? And then what happens is it sends a report to my friend every week if I have gone to any websites that I shouldn't go to. And it's been a great help to me. And so I think it might be good for you people also to think of something like that, especially those who are struggling with pornography and things like that. Covenant Eyes is one. There's another one called X3 Church. Okay, that's a little cheaper. Covenant Eyes is a little more expensive. And so I strongly challenge that you develop that kind of helping relationship. Our time is passing very quickly, so I will get on to my next point. It says, I am giving you this instruction, Paul is saying, in keeping with the promises once, with the prophecies once made about you. Okay? In other words, some prophecies had been made about Timothy. And Timothy was, aware of that, and Paul was aware of that. Timothy was a bit of a timid person. He was not very, he didn't tend to go forward. So Paul kept reminding Timothy of the prophecies, and he helped him. And his aim in giving this command, was so that those prophecies can be fulfilled. Right? And that's one of the things that we do when we are discipling. We may not have received prophecies about the person we are discipling, but we have ambitions. I want this person to be this kind of person, and I want to do all I can to help that person. Right? And so we can start making ambitions for our people. You know, I want, and when we scold them, it's not, you're useless. Where did you come from? You know, you're a donkey. You know, do you say that in this country? You're a donkey. And you know, things like that. You're useless. Without using that kind of language, I want to help you to become a great person. And I'm going to do everything I can to make you this great person. We have ambitions. And those ambitions drive us to try and help these people. And those ambitions can become our prayers for these people. Right? They become our prayers. Paul, in 10 of his 13 letters, he says, he prays for the people he's writing to. But for Timothy, he says, I pray for you night and day. Because Timothy was his child. And you know, when you have children, you pray for them more than just, you know, than you pray for everybody else. So when you have somebody, you have these ambitions, and you pray for these people night and day. In other words, Lord, bless this person. Lord, protect this person. Lord, help him. Today he's going to university, and he's going for a difficult party tonight. Lord, help him to behave himself properly. Help him not to give up his Christian principles. You know, you begin to pray for these people like that. And this can become a great help to you personally. Because when you are responsible for somebody else's spiritual life, you've got to be responsible for your life. But you can't be a hypocrite. You know, sometimes I'm sharing somebody that I'm discipling, they come and share some of their temptations with me. And I realize, man, I'm going through the same temptation. And I have to tell myself, man, I better get myself in order if I'm going to help that person. And so these people ultimately end up helping us to be good Christians. My time is gone. I think we have about 2 minutes more. We have about 2 or 3 minutes more. I just want you to think of somebody that you can disciple. Okay? Think of somebody you can disciple. And if you have a piece of paper, just write down some of your ambitions for that person. Some of the things you would like to make that person to become. If you don't have a piece of paper, just think of it in your mind. Okay? Think of it in your mind. Can I give you about 1 minute to do that? And then I will pray with you. Okay? Okay, let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for these brothers and sisters. I thank you that you gave me a wonderful opportunity to share with them. And I just want to pray that they will multiply their lives. That you will use them, Father, to impart what you have taught them to other people, so that those people also will grow as Christians. And I pray that this whole process of helping others will help these brothers and sisters also to be alert spiritually. So we just commit this into your hands, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to tell you one thing I forgot. Didn't come up when we are thinking of all the problems that young people face, things that you need to ask them about. I think one of the things you need to ask them about is how their Bible reading and praying is. Because Bible reading and prayer are the things that helps a person to grow more than anything else. So that's a question that we need to ask. Okay, thank you very much.